Om Jnanatimirannasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 means you're terrible and you want to go, and 10 means you're fired up.
10!
Okay, good. All right. Okay, turn this way. Where have you been so far?
Everywhere. All of Canada.
All of Canada. Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, Vancouver. Anywhere else? Calgary, Winnipeg. Eh? You know how to spell Canada now? You do? C-A-N-A-D-A. So, what was your favorite place there?
Shernagati.
Shernagati. What did you like about it?
The lake.
You went swimming in the lake. Nice. Now it's working. And then where did you go in America so far?
Here.
Really? Thanks for stopping in here first. Don't think we know and appreciate it. It's great to see you all here. How many are there altogether?
27.
So what'd you sign up for? Tell me why you decided to join. Now you can use the microphones. We have 4 microphones out there, so you can pass them around. Why'd you join the bus tour? You got to turn it on too. It's on? Ramananda? Try it again. There you go.
Testing, testing.
Why did you join the bus tour?
Because it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool. That's a good reason.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. So,
Anyone else?
This is my second year. I signed up for the bus tour because I'm from Hungary, so it's really nice to see another country, two other countries like Canada and the USA. So yeah, it's really big fun for me.
Nice, join the Hare Krishna, see the world. Anyone else? Go ahead.
Well, I guess I join because I like making new friends and traveling to new places. Like here, I've never been to the West Coast before, so it's my first time.
Where are you from?
Alachua.
Alachua. Yeah. You grew up in Alachua?
Yeah.
Wow. So first time to the West Coast. Nice. Well, you'll see a good representation of it today down in Haight-Ashbury. That's quintessentially West Coast. Yeah?
I guess I joined because it's a good way to have like a fun and productive summer, but then also engage in some Krishna consciousness, I guess.
Nice. It's a good combination. You're shining. You're trying to say. Go ahead. Give him a mic. There's plenty of mics out there. Pass one over here.
Hi, Bo. I joined the summer trip because I wanted to deepen my spiritual practices. I wanted to get a lot more devotee association and see some new temples, new places that I haven't seen before. This is one of them. I've only seen Iskcon Silicon Valley in videos before, but I've been pretty impressed.
Where are you from?
I'm from Orlando, Florida.
Orlando. Wow. Very nice. How many of you have distributed books before?
Tried.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You're doing it along the way as you're traveling?
No.
You do book distribution?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how many of you would like to learn how to distribute books? Okay, all the others of you, there's a room in the back for the ones who didn't raise your hand. We'll close it up and you give us some earplugs. Because if you hear what we have to say today, then I guarantee you, you'll be able to distribute books from this day forward without any, with full confidence, and you won't have to worry. You'll know exactly what to do, and you'll be very successful at it. Okay? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to give you a little seminar, after which, taking this seminar, you'll have a clear idea of why we're distributing books and also how to distribute books. And this verse that you see on the screen was written by Sriman Kushikrata. He was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, passed away a few years ago. And who will read this out loud? Yes, go ahead. Whoever's got a mic, go for it.
Seeing the fierce army of illusions put forward by the forces of Kali Yuga, Srila Prabhupada has released an unlimited shower of powerful arrows in the form of his books.
Yeah, you know, Prabhupada got off the boat with a box of books, basically. There's a lot you can do with one box of books. And that's all Prabhupada brought from India. You know the story, of course. He came with nothing else but a box of books. And that was his weapons. People didn't know how powerful they were. Weapons of mass instruction. So you'll notice that when Prabhupada wrote his letters to different devotees, he always put at the top what camp he was in. That meant a military camp. Like he would say Camp New York, Radha Govinda Mandir, or Camp Mombasa. The different places he was staying, he considered a military camp, because what we're doing here is fighting a war with Maya. So you guys are like the Navy SEALs or the Special Forces. You're meant to be dropped in different places. So you got to go through a little training. You know, when you go into the Special Forces, you know what that is in the military? Yeah. You get special training, right? And once you get your special training, they drop you in different places around the world so you can do these special operations. So this is a very special operation, spreading the Sankirtan movement, especially book distribution. It's a very strategic program. So, you can show me, I don't know how to work this thing. First thing we'll talk about is legacy. Who's got a dictionary? Okay. This one's next. Who knows what legacy means? Yes?
It's something that's left behind by a person or by an establishment.
Okay. And who has a dictionary here? You have one in the bus? Big dictionary? Who has an iPhone? Could you look on your dictionary, please? Anybody who has a phone with them? Look up the word legacy. So see what we're talking about here. Because this is our legacy. You want to know what legacy means, right? Okay, so while they're looking it up, I'm going to talk about another word, which is sampradaya. Everyone say sampradaya. So oftentimes we use words in Krishna consciousness, but we don't know or think about what they actually mean. But this word is very meaningful, sampradaya. It means the complete gift. It's something that's being passed down as a gift all the way from Krishna. And our service as devotees is to pass on that gift. It's a pretty nice service just to be able to give gifts to people all over the world. And it's good work if you can get it, isn't it? So, you got legacy? Go ahead, tell us what it means.
Read it for you.
You read it.
Right.
Yeah. You got to hold the mic right next to you.
An amount of money or property left to someone in a will.
More. There's other definitions.
That's it. Donating software or hardware that has been superseded but is difficult to replace because it's wide use.
second definition, Nimai.
No, you got it.
Something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor or from the past, the legacy of the ancient philosophies or ancient pain and suffering.
That works. And tell us where it comes from. What's the origin of the word? Anybody
old,
here?
Old English doesn't say.
Old English.
What is it? Legatus from Latin. And what does it mean in Latin, legatus? I'll give him a microphone. Actually, just so you know, this is a studio, and this is being filmed before a live studio audience. So most of the audience is online, and so when you speak something, you're part of the show here. So you have to speak into the microphone, otherwise they can't hear you and they get all angry. Okay, go ahead.
Legatus was a Latin word, and it meant it was like an officer, like a public officer position.
A public officer?
Yeah, it's a public office position.
And how do you suppose that got transformed into the meaning now?
I think it was like delegation of duties.
Delegation of duties, okay. So it gives an idea of what legacy means for something valuable to be passed on, something from the past to be given to the people in the present, right? So this is what it means to be part of the Krishna conscious movement. We're receiving a great gift that's being passed down from Krishna. And how does it come down? Because Krishna wants it to. And who knows who Sri Advaita Acharya is? Who's he an incarnation of? Yes.
Mahavishnu.
Correct, for 10 points. So yes, he's an incarnation of Mahavishnu. So what does Mahavishnu do? Well, one thing is he breathes, right? Yeah, because he's the Supreme Person, he's breathing. Okay, Ruck?
He's the maintainer.
You got to use the mic or it doesn't count.
He's the maintainer.
Maintainer of what?
Of everything.
Okay, and he manifests the universes also, right, by his breathing? You all know that? Yasya kanishvasita kala mata avalambya jivanti loma vilajajagananata Vishnur mahansa ihayasya kala vishesho govindamani purusham tamaham bhajami. Where's that from? Correct. For another 10 points. So, Sri Brahma Samhita says that when Mahavishnu exhales, all the worlds come into existence. When he inhales, they all get wound back up into his body. One breath, how long can you hold your breath for? About 2 minutes. Mahavishnu, when he exhales, is 311 trillion years. When he inhales, it's the same. So Mahavishnu is Krishna. He's an expansion of Krishna. He's manifesting the world. So he has something to do with this world. And he's compassionate. He wants to help the souls of the world. He feels for them. He feels for the souls who are caught up in the material energy. And so, when he comes as Advaita Acharya, say the Panchatapa Mahamantra. Shri Krishna Chaitanya.
Shri Advaita. Kadartana. Shri Vasadi Guru.
Yeah, so he comes with Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Shri Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu. So he's very concerned about the souls in the material world. So what's he doing here in this picture? You've all seen this picture in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, right? What's he doing? Yes. There's more than one mic, so keep him flowing.
He's praying for Lord Chaitanya to appear.
Yes. In fact, he's calling out in a loud voice. He found in scripture a verse that says, if you offer Krishna Ganges water and Tulsi leaves, then Krishna will sell himself to you. He's so indebted to that. So he again and again, he began praying that the Lord would appear because he saw the Kali Yuga was a very downtrodden age. People were living very wretched existences. So he's calling out here. So what happened? What was the result of his praying and his loud cries? Go ahead. Say it. That's not on.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared after he prayed for him to appear.
Do you all agree? If you agree, say correct. Go like this. Correct. Correct. Okay.
Correct.
All right. So you are correct. Another 10 points. You're racking them up today. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. He's Krishna himself, but he appeared in this world. He had many reasons for appearing, but one of them was because of Advaita Acharya's cries, please come and save the conditioned souls. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started a Sankirtan movement. And there's only two parts to it. It's a very simple movement. There's two parts. One part is chant Hare Krishna. Okay, work with me now. Chant Hare Krishna. That's not working with me. Chant Hare Krishna. The other part is teach others. That's it. So when you walk out of here, somebody grabs you by the arm in the parking lot and says, what was that guy talking about in there? You'll say? That's it. That's the whole movement in a nutshell. It's just two parts. It's really simple to pass on to other people. We're just chanting Hare Krishna, teaching others. The gain went up on this. It's too high. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda opened a marketplace of the holy name. Who here studies marketing? Yes, tell us about it. What is marketing? What's involved in marketing? Give him a microphone. There he is. What's your name?
Janardhan.
Janardhan. Where are you from?
Alachua.
All right, Alachua. Yeah. Tell us about marketing. What does it mean?
Marketing is like promoting and selling stuff to the consumers.
Okay. Is it complicated?
Yeah.
Tell us more about the, you know, the different elements of it. What things do you have to think about when you're marketing something?
Like the people, like the place where you're gonna
the people market. You're marketing to?
Yeah.
And the place?
Yeah. How you're gonna do it, like how you're gonna market your item.
And do you have to count stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to count up, right? How many you're selling, how many you're not selling, how much you're bringing in and stuff like that. There's qualitative, there's a lot of psychology involved, isn't it? Is there psychology involved?
Yeah.
And how about, so quantitative, qualitative reasoning skills involved in marketing. It's a big science. Are you getting an MBA?
No.
But people do get MBAs. It means they spend 3-4 years, 2-3 years studying very hard about all these different aspects of how to make products available to people. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda opened a marketplace. It means they were thinking very carefully about how to make this available to people all over the world. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission statement. Do you have a mission statement in your company?
No.
Or a vision statement? There's vision and mission statement. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's vision statement that in every town and village, the name would be chanted. So where's this picture taken with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing down the street? Orlando, Florida. So it's coming to pass. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission now is in many cities all over the world. Which places have you seen besides in Canada where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is going on? Yes? New York. Did you go to the Rath Yatra?
A few years ago.
Very good. Rock? D.C.? Nice. Where else? India. Who said India? Do you go to India? But you've seen it in different places around India. Where else?
Detroit.
Motor City. Okay, where else? Any obscure places that you can think of? L.A., that's obscure. Yes? Budapest, Hungary. So it's amazing that it's out. This is his mission, to market this all over the world. It's not easy to market, is it? What is your name? Janardan.
Yeah.
Janardan's not, it's not easy if you start a company and say, I want to market every town in the world. You know, to get out to every town in the world may not be so easy, but somehow or other, it's now going on. Just after a few short years, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is being heard in every continent, being seen. So, just after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here 500 years ago, his movement got covered over for some time. Because that's what happens in the material world. Any kind of message you put out there, it gets obscured over time because of the way the oppression of the three modes of material nature. But in 1891, Bhaktivinoda Thakur renewed the marketplace of the holy name of the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is like the great powerhouse who's bringing the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu down through our disciplic succession. And at his place that you can go and visit when you're in Mayapur, called Surabhi Kunj, he declared that the marketplace is now open. So he was one of the great marketers of the holy name. How is everybody now? You all right? Okay. Raise your hands up. Say Gauranga as loud as you can. Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, that was about a 2. Let's try to hit a 4. 1, 2, 3. That's much better. Okay, who's been to Surabhi Kunj? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I highly recommend you go to Surabhi Kunj. If you just go spend a little time at Surabhi Kunj, then you'll be empowered to spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world, and you'll be happy for the rest of your life. Who wants to go? Okay. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was thinking all the time about marketing the holy name all over the world. And he prayed that in his family there would be a special personality to help spread the movement. So he prayed for what's called Raya Vishnu. And who was that who appeared in his family? He was empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so close. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, yes. That was one of his sons. And then, so getting to yours is going to be relevant. He said, a personality will soon appear. Who is that personality? Srila Prabhupada, yeah. So, at the same time, there were great stalwart pure devotees who were keeping the pure chanting of the holy name going. That vibration was always here. These great marketers brought it to the world. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there he is. He started to make that a marketing effort to go all over India. So the Gaudiya Math spread all over the Indian continent. And then, Indian subcontinent. And then we've got Burma and England. Do you know where Burma is? Yeah. It's now technically known as Myanmar. And have you been there? Do you know where it is on the map?
Yes.
Where?
It's just east of Bangladesh.
Just east of Bangladesh. Okay, I'll tell you a story about when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta sent his envoy into Burma. It's a little gross. Do you want to hear that?
Yes.
We'll skip it. Oh, all right. Okay, so while they were there, they were having programs, and they would cook puris and things like that in ghee. And the people there, because they had different eating habits, when they smelled ghee cooking, they thought it smelled really bad. And Prabhupada explained why, because there's a preparation that people eat in Burma called nafi. You want me to tell you what nafi is? They keep a little pot somewhere on their porch, and when they catch bugs, they throw them in there, and they die, and then they decompose. And then it turns into this bug juice, and they strain it out, and then it ferments, this bug juice. And then they take, Prabhupada said, little, and they put on different preparations that they eat. Anybody want some nafi? Say no. No, Vaisheshika, no nafi today. Okay, so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's troops were going all over the world, even to Burma, where people eat nafi. And this is in the Chaitanya, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami says, Kirata hunandra pulinda pulkasha abhira shumba yavana kataraya yene chapapa yadapashraya shreya shujanti tasmai pravavishnave namaha. That any kind of person, if they come in contact with those who are representing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they can become purified. So in this verse, Shukadeva Goswami is naming all these different places. Kirata, Hunandra, Pulinda, Pulkasha. These are these far-out places all over the world where people have cultures that are not very much in the mode of goodness. They're very much in the mode of passion and ignorance. But he's saying it doesn't matter. Any of those people can become purified. So today, when you go out on Sankirtan, you're going to see people from all kinds of different cultures that you're not used to, who are acting in ways that you're not used to seeing. But you can understand that by coming in contact with them, by being a representative of the parampara, being one of the marketing agents of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you can give them the highest benefit. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta also sent devotees to go to England. And obviously his idea was to spread Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement all over the world. So he emphasized, this was, our Srila Prabhupada was named Abhai Charanaravinda. That was his initiated name. So Abhai Charanaravinda asked his spiritual master, how can I serve you? Because he was a householder. And many of the other members of the Gaudiya Math, most of them were sannyasis, brahmacharis. And so Abhai Charanaravinda asked his spiritual master, what can I do? I'm a householder. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told him, if you ever get money, 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 correct. 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 So if you ever get money, print books. So Srila Prabhupada said, I took this up from his mouth that he was very fond of books. And we know when he came to America, he brought with him a big box of books and nothing else. And some people say, okay, let me give you a quiz. Are you ready for a quiz now? Okay. True or false, when Prabhupada stepped off of the Jaladuta into the New York harbor, he had no money at all. True or false? Okay, what's true? Yes?
He had 40 rupees with him.
But 40 rupees, I've heard that's false also. He knew it was in convertible, so he left it home. So let's say that's true, what I just said, that he actually left the rupees with his son before he left. He got off the boat, say he doesn't have any rupees, with no money whatsoever. True or false?
True.
Okay, he's ready to get in. Give him the mic back there. Within 7 seconds or less, he has to have the mic or your money back from this seminar.
Was it $11?
Are you making a statement or a question? It's a quiz.
Statement.
Okay, $11? Well, according to our research, before Prabhupada stepped off the boat, he sold a set of his books to the captain of the boat for $20. So when he stepped off, he had $20 US. Haribol. Listen. Listen, there's a lot you can do with a box of books. Prabhupada stepped off the boat with one box of books, that's it. He didn't have anything else. You can make your way through the whole world, you can start a worldwide movement with one box of books. So never underestimate the power of one box of books. Look at, this is Prabhupada's first pamphlet he made. Who here is a graphic artist? Who works with graphic arts? A little bit? One, two, three? Okay, get good at it. We'll recruit you for the BBT. We got jobs for you, waiting for you. Talk to me afterwards. So the ambassador of goodwill, look at Prabhupada's little pamphlet that he made. And it says on it, 60 volumes of elaborate English version, all over the world for scientific knowledge of God. At the time, he only had one canto done with three volumes, but he's advertising 60 volumes. And also he has $20, but he's advertising all over the world for scientific knowledge of God. That's pretty bold, isn't it, Gerardin, for marketing? Yeah. So why was he so bold? What do you think? Why do you think he was so bold? Yes?
He believed that he could do it with Krishna on his side.
That's pretty good. I like that. I noticed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Kaviraj Goswami, the author, says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the greatest capitalist. So, as Janardhan will tell you, if you want to start an enterprise, you need to get some capital together, right? Yeah. So, where was Prabhupada's capital? Did he have a place to get venture capital from? Say yes. From where? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the greatest spiritual capitalist. And he's ready to invest in anybody who wants to be an entrepreneur. What's an entrepreneur? Definition. Let's ask our English pundit up here. Tell us the etymology of the word and what it means. And okay, dictionary, please. Who's got the dictionary? Have the dictionary ready at all times, please. We'll say what an entrepreneur is, and then you can say if you want to be one or not. Okay? Anybody want to be an entrepreneur? You say, I don't know. I don't know what one is. Okay, let's see what it means. Go ahead. Give him the mic right here. Give him another mic, too, because he might have backup. What's your name? Pundit in the second row. Huh? Dhruv. Okay.
So, entrepreneur means a person who organizes and operates a business or businesses, taking on greater than normal financial risks in order to do so. It comes from French, entreprendre, which means to undertake.
Okay, who wants to be an entrepreneur? You don't want to take any risk? Put yourself out there? Get your heartbeat going a little bit? Okay, we're looking for spiritual entrepreneurs. So this is spiritual entrepreneurialism, what Prabhupada was doing. It means he's taking a big risk to spread Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement all over the world. But unlike most businesses where if you take a risk and you lose, then you've lost everything. But in this, you never lose. Because even when you lose, you win. So Prabhupada had this plan. Here's his plan. By printing books, we can actually inject our movement into the masses of people all over the world. And he said, somebody read this out loud. Dhruv?
Print as many books in as many languages and distribute throughout the whole world.
How many languages are our BBT books in right now? Yes?
40?
And let's ask Manaram Prabhu.
58
languages. Can you name them all? 58 languages. What's the most obscure language that you know of that it's in? Or the one that we might not have heard of? Esperanto. You know what Esperanto is? How about Vulcan? Is it in Vulcan? Yes, you know? Vidura. It's in a lot of different languages. Yes?
Is it spoken in a language spoken in countries near Spain, something like that, in Portugal? Or
Spain, Portugal, definitely. It's in Spanish, it's in Portuguese. How about in sign? I'll teach you some sign. Are you ready? Okay. This is Hare, Hare, Krishna. Hare, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. I forgot Rama now. Anyway, that's all I'm going to teach you for now. Oh, and here's sannyas, in case you ever need to take sannyas. I took out a devotee in the UK who's deaf and dumb, doesn't speak, can't hear. But he said, I want to go on book distribution. And I thought, well, how are we going to do that? So he brought a sign expert with him so he could sign, and then the person would speak to the people that he was stopping to distribute books to. And this first day out, he distributed more books than anybody. And the reason I saw, he was very enthusiastic. So you don't have to know how to have the ability to speak or hear to distribute books. You just have to know how to communicate, that's all. In fact, we might try that today. We can blindfold you and put a glubjum in your mouth and then see if you can still sell books. Or even if you're blind, deaf and dumb, you'll be able to sell books after you see this seminar. So Prabhupada noticed that distributing books, other kinds of groups were just selling books and making them available, and it spread movements all over the world. Like the communists at the time were distributing millions and millions of their books and pamphlets, and then people were taking to it in different places all over India. So he said we should do the same thing. There are other organizations. Who's heard of Watchtower? They have this magazine called Awake. They're in 239 countries, 595 languages they have, 46 million copies a month. So we got a little catching up to do. And the Holy Bible, 196 countries, 93 languages, 84.6 million copies in 2012, 2015, 2 billion. I know, right? So with your help, we're going to try to get up to those numbers with the Bhagavad Gita. What do you think? Janardhan? Okay. He's in. I think we got something going. So the direct order of the Lord is a manifestation of his internal energy. And this particular energy is the means of seeing the Lord face to face. So Prabhupada said, so kindly help me, this is my request. Kindly help him distribute books. And anybody who just takes it up, this idea of just trying for it, just vigorously try for it, will be directly connected to the internal energy by that order. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that anybody who distributes this message to others is the most dear to him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the order that you should become heavy with this knowledge and then distribute to other people. And that's a direct order from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you can just take it. So why are we going out on book distribution? The first reason is because it's for self-purification. When you go out and you just try, even if you don't have any apparent result externally, you don't say you don't sell a book, you get superior strength and knowledge in Krishna consciousness just by trying. So there's such a thing as what we call a comfort zone. Do you know what that is? Is everybody familiar with the term comfort zone? Where is your comfort zone? Anybody? Here? Rock says here. Good, you could stay. We'll call your dad. Say we're keeping Rock. So, yes, you might have a comfort zone inside the temple. Where else is your comfort zone? Home, yes. And oftentimes when we go out into public, we're not sure what's going to happen, right? Like if you go out to distribute books, say if we sent one of you out right now, just into the neighborhood, alone, with a box of books, would you be in your comfort zone or outside your comfort zone? Who wants to try it? Okay, get them a couple books. We'll send them out the door. What's your name? Vidura. Are you ready? He's ready. Okay, that's all we need. It's just that you're ready. You don't have to go yet. But if you're ready to go outside your comfort zone, then when you get outside your comfort zone, you'll find actually more comfort than when you're in your comfort zone. So I like to say you should feel more comfortable outside your comfort zone than you are when you're inside your comfort zone. You should feel uncomfortable in your comfort zone, and you should feel comfortable when you're in your discomfort zone. So you can do that by just trying to distribute books wherever you go, because it puts you outside your comfort zone. But you'll find a higher kind of comfort that's coming from Krishna. So book distribution is? Correct. It's a rapid way to make spiritual advancement. So we talked about our legacy, and I want to hear, before I go into the four laws of book distribution, what you heard. So you have to reflect back to me anything that, any concept, idea, word, phrase that you heard that stuck with you. Reflect back. Are you ready? Reflect. Yes. You have to use a microphone, otherwise it doesn't count. Because we're a live studio audience.
Go outside your comfort zone.
Yes. What did you like about that?
I'm usually in my comfort zone, so.
Thank you. Very good. Yes.
I liked your point about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings about how you should teach others as yes. part of the movement.
Chant Hare Krishna, teach others. Yes. Right. Thank you very much. What else did you hear? Anything. Anything you heard. Go ahead. Yes.
That it was Srila Prabhupada's wish for us to distribute books.
Yes. And that's important, because if you can get an order or understand the desire of a pure devotee, and then you just try to fulfill that desire, then you'll be connected. It's just an easy way to connect to the internal energy, right? Yes. Go ahead.
You can do a lot with a box of books.
Yeah, there's no telling what you can do with one box of books. Prabhupada got off the boat with a box of books. And what did he do? He spread a movement all over the world. Thank you. Yes.
The simplicity of our culture and just how, like, what we have to do is just so simple. Just chant and teach.
Yes. Two parts, right? When you have a movement that has simple parts, you can pass it on easily. It can be transported in many different places. Okay, what else did you hear? Yes.
I like what you reminded us by saying how Lord Chaitanya is a spiritual capitalist.
Yes.
That was...
He'll invest in you. Like most venture capitalists, you got to go do a whole song and dance in order for them to hand over some money, right, Janardhan? Yeah. So the... Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's ready to give, he's ready to delve out the capital. He'll give you the capital. All you have to do is supply the risk. And if you're not making a risk in your life, it's boring. Life is boring without a risk. It takes some risks. In fact, you've all heard of the four regulator principles, right? Yeah. So one of them is no gambling. So Prabhupada said there's a replacement for gambling, because I've seen people, they like to gamble because they get this kind of intoxication from it, of risking everything. Like some people, they even like they start gambling and then they'll gamble away their house and all their money and everything like that. So they get this exhilaration. So Prabhupada said the replacement for gambling is surrender to Krishna. Because that's kind of scary. It sounds kind of scary, doesn't it? Surrender. Did your heartbeat go up? What, me? Surrender? Wait a minute. Surrender. So if you just preemptively, voluntarily surrender through doing these acts of sacrifice like book distribution, things like that, you'll live on the edge. You'll feel some risk. And that's a pretty exciting life, try to take some spiritual risk. What else did you hear? Five more. Rapid fire. 2 second gaps in between. Are you ready? On your mark, get set, go fast. There. Right behind you.
Prabhupada's instruction, if you ever get
Money, print books.
If you ever get money?
Print books.
You ever get money? You ever get money? That's like a one on a scale of 10. You ever get money?
Print books!
Correct. Okay, good. What else? Quick. 2 second gap in between. Yes.
I liked how you talked about, like, all the way through our parampara, there's speaking of how you should always be giving this knowledge to others and
yes.
spreading the holy name. And
that's right. We're Goshti Anandis. It means that part of our meditation is thinking how to give it to other people. If you're doing that, it's actually a spiritual meditation, thinking how to organize, you know, using modern techniques of organization and all that kind of thing for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness. That's marketing. And if you're thinking about that, you're in a kind of samadhi. That's it in the verse, Krishna Anushilanam. Do you know the verse? Anyabhilashita Shunyam Gyanakarman Anukulyena Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. The verb is shil, which means to cultivate, and it includes spreading Krishna consciousness. That's favorable activity. Two more. Yes.
The idea of how when you're distributing books, you're building your own knowledge as well, like actually learning and progressing spiritually, not
Absolutely.
Just by giving it to others.
If you go out like that for your own purification, you'll never be disappointed. If you go out expecting some result, like I have to perform, I have to sell books, I have to show some result, then you may feel disappointed because somebody might do more than you or you might not get the result you want. But if you go out just with the idea, I want to take some risk and go outside my comfort zone and I want to get purified, you'll never be disappointed. It always happens that you get some realization, you get some purification. Nice point. Thank you. Yes?
I thought that the story about the blind and deaf devotee distributing books was really inspiring.
It's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah, I'll tell you another one. You want to hear another story?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I was distributing books in North Carolina about 5 years ago. I went there with Neera Akula, my wife, to work with the local devotees there to help them get their monthly Sankirtan festival going. It was 108 degrees, and we were going door to door. So we went to this one door, and there was it was an apartment complex. It was really weird. There was like a little gate outside, and then you go through the gate, and then there was an entryway, and then you knock on the door. And then so we went through, and I had 7 devotees with me because I was showing them how to do door-to-door. So he knocked on the door, and first of all, this guy came to the door, and he was physically impaired. He had some disability where he could barely talk, even less than that. And I showed him the book, and I could tell immediately that he was attracted to it. So he took it in his hands. He could barely hold it, but I could tell he was attached. And then he had a nurse, a live-in nurse, that was taking care of him. But she was not in favor of it at all. So she came there and she said, no, he doesn't want it. And she tried to close the door. And then he said, no, I want it. And he held on to it. She actually reached for it and he kept it away. He wouldn't give it back to her. And so I explained a little bit more about the book and I said, so we don't sell it, like in a bookstore, we only ask for a donation. We don't need the money, but it's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. And he said, yeah. And the nurse was going, no donation. He kept going, yeah. So finally, she became very perturbed, but she went back and she got $10 of his money and handed over. And she said, okay, that's it, go. And I said, one more thing. I asked him, do you believe in the power of prayer? And he said, And he said, so I'm going to teach you this prayer. And she was saying, no, stop now. And he was saying, no, yes, I want to learn the prayer. So I held the card for him and I said, please repeat after me. And she walked away. She was angry. And I said, Hare Krishna. And with all his strength, Hare Krishna. I said, Hare Krishna. He went, Hare Krishna. And this way went through the whole mantra. And it was such a strain for him to even be able to use the muscles in his mouth in order to enunciate the words in the mantra. And so We closed the door. I turned around and I looked at the devotees, and all seven of them had tears in their eyes. And I said, so, you know, what did you just experience? And they said, I wish I had that much enthusiasm to chant Hare Krishna. He said, I take it for granted. And I just, or I don't chant at all. So, but this person had just met the devotees, first time, and he's trying so hard to chant the Maha Mantra. He said, I wish I could have his desire. So this is one of the ways in which, what is your name?
Raja.
Raja. This is one of the ways that one gets purified when one goes out. You'll see that the people you meet oftentimes have more enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness than you do. And you'll be inspired by that. They become your guru. They become your teacher. Okay. Last one. Something going on over here. I see devotees smiling, so something's happening. Go ahead. The oracle is about to speak.
I liked how you explained about all the
Do you know what he was going to say?
Come on, Dean.
I liked how you explained about how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was helping, making troops to send them all over the world for Krishna knowledge.
Very good. I like that too. Thank you. Excellent. Now, I'm going to teach you the four laws of book distribution. If you follow the law, you'll be able to become expert book distributors, and you can build an empire of book distribution anywhere you go. So don't break the law, okay? Are you ready?
Yes.
Say yes.
Yes.
Correct. Okay, here are the four laws of book distribution. Number one.
Your sadhana must be strong.
Number two.
You must get books.
Number three.
The more you show, the more you sell.
Number four.
You must organize.
Correct. All right. Your sadhana must be strong. So we're distributing the overflow of what we get. So sadhana should be strict, serious, and sincere. And when you have strict, serious, and sincere sadhana, you get a taste. And if you can get even a mustard seed worth of taste for your practice of Krishna consciousness, just from that one mustard seed of taste, you'll be able to spread Krishna consciousness all over Orlando? Actually, all over Florida. Actually, all over the Eastern Seaboard. Actually, all over America, and then it'll spread down. It'll go across the ocean into the Hawaiian Islands, down into Australia, into Asia, all over the world. One mustard seed of taste. So if you keep strict, serious, and sincere sadhana, then you'll get everything that you need in life to be happy and to also spread the Krishna consciousness movement. So what we're distributing is the?
Overflow.
So one thing that you can do is chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day. This is an organization called CHAD. Prabhupada said, please encourage others to read this Bhagavad Gita at least one chapter every day. Bhagavad Gita as it is should be read by all my students at least one chapter every day. So you can join CHAD. CHAD stands for chapter a day. So if you just chant the verses in one chapter, it takes you how long for the 12th chapter? 12th chapter? 5 minutes. How about the 15th chapter? Closer, 6 minutes. And if you're Surup, does he still live in Alachua? The pundit, Surup? He lives there. He can chant the 15th chapter in about 2 minutes. But any of these chapters, it takes you 5, 10, 12 minutes maximum to chant one chapter. And if you do that every day, you'll become a great pundit, and you'll also feel enlivened all the time. Any Chad members in here? Secret Chad members? You chant one chapter? Your dad is a member of Chad. Yeah? He chants one chapter a day? Is he a card-carrying member? Does he have his Chad card? You get a free credit card when you join Chad. You can use it at fine establishments everywhere. Here's another one, BSH, page by page. Who here has read Prabhupada's books all the way through? All of them, yeah. That seems like a high hill to climb, doesn't it? But there's an easy way you can do it. If you break it down into small parts, for instance, if you just read 8 pages of the Bhagavatam a day, is that doable? You'll finish in 5 years. How old will you be in 5 years? 20. So if you just read 5 pages a day, 8 pages of Bhagavatam a day, when you're 20 years old, you can walk around and say, hey, I just finished the Bhagavatam. So BSH page by page is an app. You can go on to the App Store, and you can download it for Android or also for iPhone, and it will give you a little device where you can dial up any of Prabhupada's books, and it'll tell you how many pages a day that you have to read to finish any one of those books within a given amount of time. Rock, how many pages a day do you think it would take to read the whole Bhagavatam in 1 year? Who's got the app on their phone? Look it up. We already know Bhagavatam, so let's try Chaitanya Charitamrita. How long would it take? We're going to ask Preeti Sundarba. She's looking on the app right now. How long it will take to read the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita in 1 year? Rock, would you like to do that? Read the whole CC in 1 year? Okay. Here's what you got to do. It's not much. You'll see.
To complete reading Chaitanya Charitamrita in 1 year, please read 19 pages per day.
19 pages a day? That's nothing. Everyone say that. It's nothing. Okay. What else? Nectar devotion. Rock's going to finish the Nectar devotion in 1 year. How many pages does he have to read every day?
Two.
2 pages a day, Rock. So you add that onto your Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's 19 pages total a day. You can finish the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Nectar devotion in 1 year with a small investment of 19 pages a day. What do you think, Janardhan? He's good. Janardhan's in? It's good. Okay. So BSH, page by page, check this app out. Go on the App Store, download it. It's free. And there'll be many upgrades to it. Pretty soon, the app coming up soon, our engineers are working so that when you sit down to read Prabhupada's books, you can register that you're in there, and then you can look at a map, and every place where somebody's reading one of Prabhupada's books, there'll be a little light shining world map. And there's a little reminder on there, too. You can set right now. We just put that in so that when you start to read your pages, it'll remind you every day to read your daily pages. Okay. Second one is you must get books. Okay, so when I say 1, 2, 3, then say this. 1, 2, 3.
Get books!
Very good. This young man's going to go far, I can tell you right now. Okay, so get books. Now, here's why. Let me explain why. We've been to universities. We've done studies all over the world. We brought in some of the brightest minds, PhDs, in the world to study this. And they found out, after double-blind studies, a conclusive research, that you can't distribute books that you don't have. So the books are available, and it's no small thing, because previously these books were written on palm leaves. How long does it take to write the Bhagavad Gita in palm leaf, on a palm leaf, would you say? What is your name? Abhay, how long would it take to write the Bhagavad Gita by hand and on a palm leaf? Approximately. 17 pages a day.
Probably several years.
Several years for one book, right? Okay, so now we have thousands of books available if you just pick up the phone and say so. But don't take it for granted. Don't think it's like an ordinary thing just because you can get them. This is a window of opportunity that they're available. So get these books and keep them with you. And if you carry them around with you, you'll find opportunities to distribute them. Look at some of these books. Did you know there's books in, you see the one at the top left, it's Japanese? And who here speaks Japanese? 日本語が分かりますか? How about Vietnamese? Chang, Chang Manjoy, Chao Ko Manjoy. How about Arabic? Salam alaikum, alaikum salam, madhava, kifelak, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, mabsut. Who speaks Farsi? Any Farsi speakers? Farsi? Persian, yeah. So you can learn these a little bit in every language. Right now we have a language project which taking the main Sankirtan lines and putting them on a little card so you can carry it around. So if you meet somebody who speaks Arabic, you give them the Arabic book, show them the card, and they'll take a book. Just like that. Magic. So get these books. It's more fun than a barrel of monkeys. Look at this. Vietnamese, Japanese, Farsi, Arabic, Korean. Chang toi dang vo hoi ngang cha noi. You can learn this. Bonjour, everyone say.
Bonjour.
Chinese.
Ciao.
Italian.
Ciao.
Spanish.
Hola.
Swedish.
Hey.
Polish.
Jeez.
If you learn, you learn a little something in every language, like how to say hello, how to say thank you, you'll be loved all over the world, anywhere you go. All you have to do, ni hao. And then, yeah, you speak Chinese. Like, this is a way to make a bridge to people. And if you carry the book in their language, they'll go crazy. You show them the book in their own language, they'll love you for it. We have those. It's even a bit bigger miracle. What to speak, we have the books available. What to speak, now we have them in all these different languages. It's amazing. It's a miracle. Say it's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
Miracle. Correct. All right. Here you go, Vietnamese. I went to a Vietnamese mall, and I sat down with these Vietnamese-speaking people at a Starbucks. And there they are. They each have a book in their hand, and they wanted a photo op, and they each gave a donation, and didn't speak a word of English. Just exchanged all in Vietnamese. Here's a Muslim mullah from Afghanistan. And when I said, Salam alaikum, alaikum salam, madhava kifelak, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. He said, you're Muslim? I said, I believe in Allah. He said, you pray every day? I said, 16 times. And he came over and gave me a big hug. And I gave him this Farsi book, and he loved it. And he took it all the way back to Afghanistan. There it is, that beautiful perfection of yoga, sitting there in Afghanistan, burning a hole in the country. So you can get these books. This is fun. I'm telling you, this is fun. There's a lot of people think this and that is fun. Like there's games you can play. There's stupid stuff you can read. That's boring. This is fun. If you want to have fun, start distributing books in Farsi or Arabic or learn these different languages. It's more fun than you can have anywhere in the world. Sankirtan is fun and easy. Say Sankirtan is fun and easy. Correct. You got that right. Okay, number three, we always say this one twice. Ready?
The more you show, the more you sell. The more you show, the more you sell.
That is correct. So here's why. Because little jiva, what's a little jiva? Soul. Little jiva's wandering all over the universe looking for stuff. And so that's why people put up signs. Did you see any signs on your way here? What kind of signs did you see? No trespassing. That scares little jiva. Jiva says that, oh, I might get shot. And what else did you see? Advertising. What did you see? Janardhan, what kind of signs are there out there? What's that? Oh, sleeping on the ride. Okay, what kind of signs are there? Coca-Cola? What does it say? It says, open a bottle of happiness. That's their advertising campaign. And it's got a big bottle of Coca-Cola and it's pouring out. What's coming out of there? What is Coca-Cola? Is it a bottle of happiness? Yes or no? Is it a bottle of happiness? It's a bottle of sugar water. There's no happiness in there. It's a sugar water. But they advertise, open a bottle of happiness. So do people buy Coca-Cola?
Yes.
Do people drink Coca-Cola? All over the world. Why do they buy Coca-Cola? because they saw it on the sign. And little Jiva is completely open to suggestion, because little Jiva's walking along and he sees a sign that says, open a bottle of happiness. And he goes, huh, maybe I'll get some. So he goes down the store, he gets this big bottle of Coca-Cola, and he pours a glass, and every cell in his body is saying, don't put that in here. And little Jiva goes, no, I saw it on the sign. It said I should drink this. It's a bottle of happiness. So little Jiva starts going, glunk, 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 glunk. And all the cells are getting like all destroyed and full of all this brown gunk inside. And all over the universe, little Jiva's walking around looking for stuff. But he's not getting the right thing. So if you just show little Jiva, say, hey, little Jiva, come here for a second. Let me show you something. Look at this. Then you're going to find that little Jiva will become attracted. You show him a Krishna book, little Jiva, what is in that? And you say, it's a book full of happiness. And they go, really? And they'll take it home. It'll open it up. Everyone said, why are you looking at it? So the guy told me it's full of happiness. I start reading it. And actually, he can find a way to tap into his real happiness. So if you just show the books, and there's lots of ways you can do it. There's not one way. Look at this little table we put up on the street in Santa Cruz. We just put it up there, and people come over, and they start looking at the books. And then we have devotees all over the world set up a little table, and they just start showing books. Here's even the police came over. They wanted to have books. Here's this one Mataji. She sets up a table every day and shepherds thousands of books, just showing them to people. That's all she's doing, showing them. There's events you can go to. This is one here at ISV that we go to every year. It's called the Pumpkin Festival. And we realized the reason it's so successful, if you'll notice the books they're holding in their hand, same color as the pumpkin. Diwali events. And here's the Smart Box, one of my favorites. Have you ever met the Smart Box?
Yes.
This little Smart Box. Now, any of you like to sleep? Raise your hand. Any of you sleeping right now? So Smart Box is good for those of you who like to sleep, because you can distribute books while you're sleeping. How does that sound? Is that good or good?
Good.
Okay. So the Smart Box you can put in stores, and then it's got a little price tag on it. People put the money in the box. They walk in. They see the books. They see the little sign at the top, and they take the book out. They put the money in, and they walk away with the book. And so how many places do we have this in ISV now? How many did Selva put out there? About 125 now. Like right now, all over the city, these little Smart Boxes are in stores in 125 places. So you could do that. Yes. What's your name? Prahlad wants some Smart Boxes. I could tell by the look on his face. We've got to line him up. Give him the microphone here. He's got something to say.
How about if someone just takes a book and doesn't pay for it?
Then you know what we call them? A lucky thief. In fact, that's what Prabhupada called them. That used to happen to us all the time. I grew up in an airport. I have a confession to make. I grew up in an airport. When I lived in the airports for many, many years, more than three decades, I lived in an airport distributing books. And sometimes, especially in the 70s, people used to steal books from us. So we'd show them a book, and they'd go, thanks, and they'd take it. And so we told Prabhupada, and said, Prabhupada, sometimes people steal books from us. And Prabhupada said, lucky thief. I'll tell you another story. Want to hear another story?
Yes.
Sorry, we ran out of time. We've got to go. Just kidding. Okay, so here's another story. We put a Smart Box in a Chinese restaurant. These people had no idea what kind of books they were. They just had enough space, so they were friendly, and they said, yeah, go ahead, put it in here. So we put the Smart Box in there. And one day, some thieves came in, and they grabbed the whole box with the money in it, and they ran out. And the son of the owner chased after him, tackled him in the parking lot. And then his father came out and started beating on the guy, and they took the box back, and they had no idea what kind of books they were selling at all. But they got credit for being in Lord Chaitanya's movement and trying to protect these books. So even the people in the establishment where you put the box become part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Say, Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, look at this. Yes.
Where can I get a Smart Box?
That's the question you want to ask. Okay, your name is?
Balaram.
Balaram wants Smart Boxes. Who can line them up? Where's our sanctum leaders? Okay, yes. Haladhar Rupa, come over here. Meet Balaram. This is one of our most successful Sankirtan warriors. He goes out, meet Balaram in the purple shirt. He's interested in smart boxes. Okay, he'll line you up. Get him on his dad on the phone right after this, and we'll order some smart boxes. It will get you going. As spiritual entrepreneur, take risks. Jump out there. If you have this urge, says I'm going to try it, just do it. Life is very short. You don't know how long it's going to go, so take a risk. This is a spiritual entrepreneur right here. He's ready to rip, right? You ready to rip?
Yeah.
All right. Look at these smart tables. You just put them out there, and people come over. And also, Prabhupada said, I want that every respectable person has a full set of Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita in his home. So how might you do that? Well, think in terms of Tom Hopkins. He was the greatest salesman in the world. And he wrote a book about selling. So he said, if you can sell one item, then you can sell a bunch of them together. So he said, always sell in bunches like bananas. So look at this. We have full sets of these books, right? Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And how would you say would be what would be the means to sell the Chaitanya Charitamrita or the Srimad Bhagavatam using the four laws of book distribution? Name me one of the laws that would get you to sell one of these sets of books or both of them together. Yes?
Get books.
That's one of them, yes. Everyone repeat it. Get books. Okay? What's the other law? Yes?
Read them.
Your sadhana must be strong. What's the other one? Yes? Yes. The more you show, the more you sell. It's one we always say twice. Say it. Correct. So if you just show people, now here's an example. We were going door to door, and I was down the hall, and I saw SKP, who's to the right of me in that picture. You see him there with the smile? Then, same picture there. They were all outside the door, and SKP called me over and said, stand right here. So the people came back, and they invited us in, which was a big mistake. Because as soon as we got in their house, we opened up the full set of Bhagavatams. And we said, here, look at this. And we started talking to them about it. And they said, we'd like to take it, but we don't have any room. So I looked around their little apartment, and I found, see that shelf with the arrow pointing to it? On that shelf, what was there before was a bunch of old books that I'm sure no one was reading anymore. There was a hairbrush. There was a bottle of nail polish. There was some old games. I said, you don't need all this junk, right? They said, no. So we started taking all of it off the shelf, and we made room for the Bhagavatam, and we put it in there. And all we did, really, is just show it to them. We just went inside, and we opened it up and showed it to them. So let me give you a quiz. Are you ready for another quiz?
Yes.
How many Bhagavatam sets would we have sold in that house if we didn't open the box and we didn't show them? Approximately how many? Approximately zero. But if you take them out of the box and you start showing people, little Jiva gets attracted because little Jiva is open suggestion. He's looking for stuff. Here's a Muslim from Morocco, and he just bought a full set of Chaitanya Charitamritas. Tell me why he did. Why did he buy that? Yes?
Because he showed it.
That's right. Because he saw it. And you never know. If I told you, go out and sell a set of Chaitanya Charitamritas to a Muslim from Morocco, what would you say to me?
No.
Say, Vaisheshika Das, you are crazy. But if I told you, just go out and show as many people as possible the Chaitanya Charitamrita, then miracles like this will happen. Look how happy he is to have Chaitanya Charitamrita in his house. And all she did was show him. She just showed him. So, there's lots of ways that you can show the books. And one of the ways that we're doing right now, just for your information, is called Motel Gita. We've placed over 300,000 Bhagavad Gitas in motels and hotels. They're sitting there right now. 300,000 of them, that's a lot. Go ahead. Give it up for the Motel Gita team. The number four law is... Yeah, if you treat it as a hobby, you can do a couple books here and there. But if you get organized, you can become an expert, and you can also create a book distribution empire through the principles of organization. Anybody heard of Apple Computer?
Yes.
Where did they start? In a garage. How about Hewlett and Packard? Where did they start? In a garage. Here's another entrepreneur up here. He knows this stuff. So they started in a little garage. How did Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, start a company in a little garage and get to be the biggest company in the world?
Enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm. And they organized. Thank you very much, sir. They organized. They had enthusiasm. So all they did was apply principles of organization, and they were able to grow into the largest company in the world. Can you do the same thing with book distribution? And any of you live in a little dusty garage somewhere?
Yeah.
Any of you live in a bus? Anybody here live in a bus?
Yeah.
You all live in a bus. From a bus, could you start a world-class organization for book distribution?
Yes.
How might you do that?
Drop.
Because you must organize. If you organize yourselves and you think in terms of how to make things a little bit better every time, and I'm going to teach you the easiest trick for organization in the world, through which, in your personal life and in all your professional life, if you follow this system, you'll be wildly successful. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
We ran out of time. I'm sorry, I can't tell you right now. Go ahead. Okay. Yes. That is that every time you do something, if you look back and see how you did it and find where there's room for improvement, and you write down a couple of ideas like, how can I make it better the next time? If you just do that every month, then every year you'll be noticeably better in everything that you do. Personal habits, your sadhana, your whatever disciplines you're learning in life. And if you're forming an organization, this is invaluable. It's one of the techniques for management that you just look and you see what worked well, where's there room for improvement, and write down the room for improvement. This must organize. Is everybody okay?
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to 10, have you fallen below a 10 and now you're at a 6? Still at a 10? Okay, you're holding this together. Okay, goals are potent. There's lots of ways to organize, and I'm zipping through them right now because I'm going to teach you how to sell a Bhagavad Gita. Who wants to learn how to sell a Bhagavad Gita? Okay. Sorry, we're out of time. No, just kidding. All right, somebody go get the Gitas. Make sure that we have cases of Gitas. So here's a few principles I want to go with. Teamwork is very important. And here's some tips for you to ponder while we're getting the Gitas. Are you ready to ponder?
Yes.
Okay. Pick the ripe fruits.
Peaches.
So if you're picking peaches, who said peaches? Which peaches do you look for to pick first? How do you know they're ripe? What? They turn a different color, right? They're red. And what else? Soft. What else? They come off when you pluck them. They smell good, right? So here's at Arathiatra. Thank you. Thank you very much. Here's at Arathiatra. You see the fellow on the left-hand side? Does he look like a ripe or an unripe fruit? Correct. And how about the guy on the right? Does he look like a ripe or an unripe fruit?
Unripe.
Okay, so is this ripe or unripe?
Ripe.
How about this?
Unripe.
How about that?
Ripe.
How about this?
Unripe.
How about this? Correct. Very good. You pass the test. So all you have to do is look for the ripe fruits. When you go to pick fruits, you don't have to pick unripe fruits. If you go to a peach tree and you find a peach that's stuck to the tree, A, you grab onto the thing and you pull it as hard as you can until the branch breaks, and then you break the branch and you drag it down the street. Or B, you leave it alone and let it ripen the sun. A or B?
B.
Correct. Okay, so look for the ripe fruits. Also, core and explore. 80% you know how to do what you know how to do, and 20% always look for new ways. So you're always expanding and finding new techniques. Here's our prime directive when we go out for book distribution, and that's written at the bottom. Everyone say it together.
Leave everyone with a good
yeah, we don't care if they take a book, don't take a book, if they're nice to us or not nice to us, it doesn't matter. Our main point is to?
Leave everyone with a good impression.
Correct. Okay, we're ambassadors of goodwill, and we are in the?
Service.
Correct. Our motto is?
ABS,
it's the ABS principle. We are? Remain? Go out for? Do service for? I save one soul at a time, beginning with? Treat people with? Offer? Focus on? Preaching means? Don't be? Express?
Empathy.
Practice?
Reluctance.
Make people? Because they are. Okay, I'll teach you a trick. And if you don't take anything away from this seminar today, and you take this one thing, you'll be successful wherever you go. I want you to close your eyes for a second. Sit up straight, close your eyes. It's a meditation. I want you to imagine that everybody in this room has a sign around their neck that says, make me feel special. Do you have that in your mind? Open your eyes. Turn to somebody and make them feel special. Okay, stop making people feel special. Don't you hate that? When somebody makes you feel special? Do you hate it? Feels terrible, right? When somebody comes up, tries to make you feel special, you're like, I hate that when people do that. No, everyone likes it. So when you go out for book distribution, just remember that everyone has a sign around their neck and it just says, make me feel special. If that's all you do, you'll be very successful in your book distribution. So you come up to people, you find something that you can appreciate about them, make them feel special, right? Develop the habit of expressing
sincere gratitude and thanks to people you meet, live with, or associate with.
So book distribution is?
Fun and easy.
Correct, correct, correct. Okay, now... how to sell a book on its own merit. So I'm going to teach you how to sell a Bhagavad Gita on its own merit. First, I'm going to go through it here, and then we're going to stand up together, and you can go through the repetition. So listen carefully, because you're going to have to repeat this to somebody verbatim after you hear it. Are you ready? Say yes.
Yes.
Correct. Okay, Prabhupada said there's sufficient merit in our books that if you simply describe them sincerely to anyone, they will buy. Here we go. Here are the steps. Number one, radar. Number two, qualify. Number three, trust the hand. Number four, give a nutshell presentation. Number six, show and tell. Number seven, compliment. Number eight, humor. Number nine, engage. Okay, who's seen a radar gun before? So what does it do? How does it do that? You need the microphone, otherwise it doesn't count. No credit for talk without microphone.
A radar gun checks the speed of the car.
How does it do that?
I think there's like a laser.
Yes.
It gets from that. It scans when the start.
Yes.
When the car passes through from the start to the end,
yes.
Sees how fast it was going.
And it hits it, and then radar bounces back to the gun?
Yes.
There's a beam, right? It's pretty mystical. Bats have that too. They have some kind of sonar they shoot out. So they're blind as a bat. And they fly around and they miss stuff because they're shooting out these beams, right? So I'm going to teach you have the same thing. You have a radar gun built into your body right now. You want to find out where it is? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Hold up your hand. Point it at somebody. And when I say... the mantra, you say the mantra and it will open up the radar. Hi.
Hi.
Very good. Now, did you notice the person you shot with your radar gun after you said hi? Yeah. Try it again. Shoot somebody. Hi.
Hi.
How did they look? They look happy? That's because there's a whole room full of ripe fruits. Everyone's a ripe fruit. So when you hit a ripe fruit with your radar, they're going to smile at you. And they'll go, hey, hi, how are you? And stuff like that. And then you go like this. Sometimes, if there's somebody across the street and you go like this, they'll cross the street just to give you a fist bump. So first thing is you use your hand because you need to make a conscious contact with people. How are you going to know if they're a ripe or unripe fruit? You got to shoot the radar at them. And if you shoot the radar and say hi, then the beam's going to hit them and they're going to smile or what? What else will they do? They'll ignore you and walk away. Is that a ripe fruit or unripe fruit? Is it your business to chase after the unripe fruit, try to grab it, break the branch off and drag them down the street? So what do you do with an unripe fruit? Leave them alone. Just leave them alone. You don't have to pick the unripe fruits. Does it make you happy?
No.
It's a process of selection, not convincing. You don't have to convince everybody. You just have to select ripe fruits, and that's how you do it. So next is you qualify people. So the way to qualify somebody is ask them a question. The most powerful punctuation mark in any language is the question mark, because it's a hook or a tennis racket. A hook means you're leading the conversation the way you want it to by pulling on the hook, or it's a tennis racket. It hits back the question or statement the person makes and puts it in their own court. So to qualify somebody, an easy way is to tell where you're from and then ask where they're from. I'm from Burlingame. Where are you from? I'm from Burlingame. Where are you from?
Panama.
I love Panama. I was just in Latin America. We got an instant connection because he's from Panama and I just happen to love Panama. So I'm from California. Where are you from?
I'm from Hungary.
Hungary. I love Hungary. I went to Budapest.
Oh.
So we immediately have a connection because I qualified them. Now, if I was just to walk up to people like this, walking down the street like this and go, here! No radar, no qualification. They have no idea why I'm coming, except in their mind they're thinking, this guy's after me. He either wants my money or he's going to stab me with the book. So one way or another, he's freaked out. So don't freak people out. First of all, qualify them and say hi. And then you can see what their reaction is, and if they have a nice reaction or a medium reaction, then you can ask a qualifying question. Tell them where you're from. I'm from. And then ask me where I'm from. I'm from Burlingame. Then you say, I love Burlingame. And then you go like this. Boom. So, or you can qualify. You say, Burlingame, where's Burlingame? You say, California. You say, California, I love California. Then, boom. Right. So this is qualification. Now, once the person's qualified, then we can hand them the book. Now, look at the picture, and you see the lady's hand? You see how the hand's like this? That's because this is the dharma of the hand. What's the dharma of the tongue? Say any old thing. And what's the dharma of the ear? What's the dharma of the feet? To walk around. And what's the dharma of the hand? To grab stuff. So let the hand engage in his dharma. Put the book out, and even if the person's mind is going, I don't want this, look at her mind. You can see on the face, she's thinking, what the heck am I getting myself into here? But look at the hand. It goes, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll take it. Because the mind's going, no, don't do it. And the hand's going, no, I'll take it. So you put it in their hand, and then tell them a little bit about it. So here's a mantra I'm going to teach you today. There's many mantras. Here's one of them that will just flat out work wherever you go. Are you ready? Yes. Books on yoga and meditation. That show you how to get free from stress. Books on yoga and meditation. That show you how to get free from stress. Books on yoga and meditation. That show you how to get free from stress. Don't look. How do you turn the thing off like this? Okay, go ahead. Don't look at the screen, just say.
Books, yoga, and meditation that...
That show you how to get free from stress.
Correct. Okay, pass it around. Four more, but don't look at the screen. Just look at me and or look at the crowd, and we'll give you charades if you forget.
So these are books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress.
Very good.
Man. Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress.
Yeah.
See, these are books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress.
Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress.
These are books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress.
Hello. These are books on yoga and meditation that shows you how to relieve from stress.
Okay, very good. Very, very good. That's a mantra. So when you're handing the book over, you can tell them that. Because they're thinking, like, what's in it for me? So that's you tell them. And the next thing, you want to ask them a question as soon as they get the book. And you can say, you've heard of stress, right? So say that.
You've heard of stress, right?
Right. And so what are they going to say? They'll may say yes. What if they say no? We say, I'm not stressed. I never heard of stress. That's okay. It doesn't matter. We got you covered here. So they say, you've heard of stress before, right? Yes. Yeah? Really? You don't look stressed. You look spiritual. So now, have you ever walked out of your ashram, got out of your bunk in the bus, and someone looked at you and said, you look terrible? How do you feel? Yeah, if you walk out of your bunk and someone says, hey, you look tired, how do you feel?
Tired.
If someone says, you walk out of the bunk and it's like, you look fantastic, even if you're tired, how do you feel?
Fantastic.
So if someone says to you, oh, you look spiritual, how do you feel?
Spiritual.
That's right. You start feeling spiritual. So once you hand the book over, you say, books on yoga and meditation, shows how to get free from stress, and you ask them, you've heard of stress, right? And they say yes. If they say no, it doesn't matter. You said, yeah, I can tell. You don't look stressed. You look spiritual. Either way, it works. Now, here's the big question. You ready for the big question?
Yes.
If you just learn this one question for book distribution, then you'll be successful wherever you go, even if you forget all the other stuff. Ask this one question. What's your secret? So if you ask people what their secret is, you say, well, you look spiritual. What's your secret? Then it changes the relationship. They're thinking, this person is imposing his or her will upon me. They're trying to give me something I don't know. They're going to try to, you know, change me or whatever it is. But when you ask this question, you change the relationship. Now they've become the teacher. You become the student. You teach me something. What's your secret? So they'll tell you the secret. What kind of secrets will they tell you? If they're in the mode of ignorance, what do they say? They smoke marijuana. If they're in the mode of passion, what do they say? I play sports. I'm, I work hard. If they're in the mode of goodness, what do they say? I meditate. I do yoga and stuff like that. And so that's when you find out their secret, you take the book back and you do show and tell. Okay, show and tell is easy. On the back of the book, and here's what you say. I'll show you really quick. How fast are we showing them?
Really quick.
How fast?
Really quick.
How fast?
Really quick.
Yeah, it's really quick because their mind is thinking, how long am I going to be here? Is this a Bhagavatam class I got to listen to or what? So now, on the back of the book, you can just start naming people. Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Albert Einstein, the Beatles, and Tupac Shakur. You put them all on there because they're all people who have read the Bhagavad Gita. And next, I open up the book and I'll point to the Sanskrit and say, look, can you read this? Can you read that? Can you read it? I was just testing you. It's all been translated into English and it's been translated many, many times. This has become the most popular academically. And then we turn to the front of the book and in there you'll see the universities. So the universities are here. You can show them University of Southern California and Georgetown University. It's right in front of these first two pages at the bottom. USC, who's heard of USC? Who's heard of Georgetown? Yep. So show them the universities that use it. And next, we turn to this picture called Changing Bodies. And look at this. Here's how you do it. You say, look, we all start here. We end up here. We're all just passing through. Where are you in all this? Let the record show that Madhava said he's right here. Oh, here. I'm over here. I was here 5 minutes ago. We're moving by very quickly. Next page, you can show them this picture and say, look it. A self-realized person treats everyone with respect because he or she sees God within everyone's heart. Or you can say the divine essence within everyone's heart. And next, you can say, you've heard of karma, right? Have you all heard of karma?
Yes.
What does it mean to you? Oh, better give him the microphone.
Basically, it's like the way you live your life. If you treat everyone with respect and kindness, you get that back. But if you're mean to everyone and don't treat them with the respect and equality that everyone deserves, you'll get that back in some later life.
Very nice. Now, when anybody tells you, and they may not give such a detailed explanation, you might ask people, say, what does karma mean to you? They might say, what goes around comes around. Have you heard that?
Yes.
Or any number of things they say, and here's what you say in return. Whoa, what a great explanation. Are you ready? You ask me what karma means to me. Hold on, this thing's backwards. Okay, ask me again. You know, there's rabbits and butterflies and all kinds of stuff happens. And then you say?
Wow.
You really got to lean back. You got to go like this. Whoa, I really like the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, it would be a better world to live in. So repeat after me. Whoa, I really like the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, it would be a better world to live in. You ready? Ask me karma, what karma means to you. Use a microphone.
What does karma mean to you?
You know, there's rabbits and butterflies and stuff goes around and around.
Whoa, what a
all
great
explanation. Come on, lean into it. Whoa.
What a great explanation. If more people thought like you, it would be a better world to listen.
Very good. Excellent. There you go. Okay, so now we come to the humor. So, we say, what do you do professionally? Say that.
What do you do professionally?
So they say, I'm a civil engineer, I'm a Sunday school teacher, I'm a dancer. And then we say, really, this guy used to be a civil engineer. Really, this guy used to be a Sunday school teacher. Really, this guy used to be a dancer. And then they laugh. 50% will laugh, and the other 50% say, really? And then you say, no, not really. And then they laugh. And that's when you hand the book back, and we say we don't sell these like in a bookstore. We just ask for a donation. We don't need the money. It's an ancient tradition that when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, you become connected to the previous teachers who have passed down the knowledge, and you can thus enter deeply within it. So here's, pass the book back. We don't sell it. Come over here. We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. We don't need the money. The only reason we ask is when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. Let the record show he's reaching for his wallet. He wants to give. Let the record show he gave $100. Haribo! Okay, so this is, you can repeat this, yes? Microphone.
What if they don't want to give you a donation?
Well, they're not required to give a donation, but most people will be either happy to give a donation or to hand the book back. So oftentimes people say, I don't have any money. Is that true?
No.
Not really. It's not really true. So what that means is, if you translate it, it means that I'm not sure how much to give, or I'd like to give something, but I'm probably thinking of a number that's too low that won't satisfy you. So what you can often do is say, after shipping and storage and everything like that, these cost us around 10. So anything you give over 10 is a donation. So give them a number. So sometimes then you say, you know, you can give a donation, and then they'll say, well, I don't have any money. And say, well, just give something small. And they say, I really don't have any money. You say, just give a penny. And then they'll look and they'll say, okay, well, I have $5 or I have $10, right? Confirmed by the book distributors. So, and then if they really say, I don't have any money, then you can say, well, would you really like to read it? And oftentimes people say, yeah, I really want to read it. I just don't have any money. And then let them have the book because they paid attention. And their time or money is both valuable. They gave a little time, they gave a little attention to look at it. And we're really not there to make money. Krishna supplies all the money. We're there as Krishna's agents to make sure that everybody gets a Gita who's qualified to take it home and appreciate it. So if somebody's not qualified to appreciate it, don't let them have the book because they'll mistreat it. And they'll let you know that. They'll hand the book back. Does that help? Yeah?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Any other question? All right. Now, they say, I already know about this. That's great. I could tell by looking at you. I'm a Buddhist. Oh, great. Then I'll show you this one. Give them the Buddha book. You selling this? We refuse to sell it. It's too valuable. We just take a donation. How much should I donate? We try to keep it under 100, but in your case, we're thinking about making an exception. Okay, so after they give a donation for a book, then you can say, do you believe in the power of prayer? We say that.
Do you believe in the power of prayer?
And most people will say, in America, they'll say what?
Yes.
Yes. If they say no, then you say, great, I'll give you a mantra. So then you say, I'll teach you this mantra. Please repeat after me. Are you ready? You ready?
Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna. Krishna. Hare Hare.
Hare
Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare.
Very good. And then you have to give them prasadam. So after they buy a book, you teach them the Maha Mantra, you have to give them a little prasadam. Okay? Say yes.
Yes.
Correct. So then you can get their contact information because they might want to stay in touch. You can get their email. Okay? Good?
Yes.
Say yes. Okay. Then, at the very end, say, thank you for taking your valuable time. Everyone say that.
Thank you for taking your valuable time.
It's been a pleasure meeting you.
It's been a pleasure meeting you.
Leave everyone with a good impression, because that is our prime directive. What's our prime directive?
Leave everyone with a good impression.
Correct. So we talked about our legacy, we talked about the four laws of book distribution, and we talked about how to sell Bhagavad Gita on its own merit, and now you're going to actually practice it. Does everybody remember how to do it? Let me do it one more time. I'll need a volunteer. You come up here. Stand right here. Hi. Stand here so you're facing them so you can see. And that's the camera for the internet. You're on live Facebook. Tens of thousands of people watching you. So there you go. Hi.
Hi.
California. Where are you from?
Hungary.
Hungary? I went to Hungary once. I love Hungary. Fantastic. Here, I'll show you one too. Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress. You've heard of stress before, right? Somebody give him a microphone or hold it for him. Hold it for him. You've heard of stress, right?
Yeah.
Really? Because you don't look stressed. Your eyes are very peaceful. You look spiritual. What's your secret?
I don't have a secret.
What's that?
I don't have a secret.
You must just be a natural then. You come from a good family. I could tell. Here, I'll show you really quick. Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Albert Einstein, the Beatles, and Tupac Shakur. You've heard of them, right?
Yeah.
They all read this book. Look it. Can you read that?
No.
I was just testing you. It's Sanskrit. It's all been translated in English. This has been translated many times, over 400 times in English, and out of all of them, this has become the most popular edition that's used by many of the universities. You've heard of USC?
Yes.
Georgetown University?
Yeah.
Yeah? Here. This is it in a nutshell. Look it. We start here. We end up here. We're all just passing through. Where are you in all this?
Right.
Over here? Yeah, I'm over here. I was here 5 minutes ago. And look it. This shows a self-realized person. A self-realized person treats everyone with respect because he or she sees that there's a divine essence, God, within everyone's heart. You've heard of karma, right?
Yeah.
And what does it mean to you?
To give people...
Like do good for others and they do good
for
you?
Yeah, so be good to
goes others. Around, comes around? What goes around,
yeah,
comes around?
Yeah, what goes around, comes around.
Whoa! I really like the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, it'd be a better world to live in. What do you do professionally?
I'm a civil...
Civil engineer?
Civil engineer.
Look at yeah. That guy used to be a civil engineer. We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. We don't need the money. It's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge.
Oh.
Let the record show he gave another $100. Do you believe in the power of prayer?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'll teach you this prayer. Let the record show I'm handing him a mantra card. All right, this is a beautiful prayer from Sanskrit. It's meant to wake up love for God within your heart. And it's a little hard to pronounce, so I'll say it once and you can repeat. Are you ready? Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare
Hare. Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Excelente. You're natural. Very good. And this is for being so nice. And if you'd like, we can give you more information through email. We have a regular posting about spiritual knowledge. Would you like us to send you?
Yeah.
Okay, you can put your name and address in here. Let the record show we put his name and address in. Right. We want to thank you very much for taking your valuable time. It's been an honor to meet you. Thank you very much. Give him a hand.
Good job. You're good.
Thank you. All right, so now what we're going to do, are you all ready to try that?
Yes.
Okay, so now the next part is an agility test to see how organized all of you are and how you can work together as a team. So what we're going to do, after I say go, and I'm going to time you to see how you do compared to other groups around the world, is you're going to have to stand up, take all these asanas and place them neatly on the stack underneath the panchatattva back there. And then you have to line up and face each other in one or two lines, whichever, I mean, each line has one person facing another. And if you can fit one big line, that's fine. Or if you can do two lines, find two lines. But you have to organize yourselves. And you have to do it fast. And on one side, the people facing have a book in their hand, one of these books, which are available over on that side. And the other side, you're empty-handed. Does that make sense? Do you have any questions before I say go? Okay, so I'm going to time you because, well, don't start yet. We're going to go for the world record, which was 60 seconds. On your mark, get set, go. Organize, organize. That's 5 seconds. That's 10 seconds. 15 seconds. 20 seconds. 25 seconds. 30 seconds. 35 seconds. 40 seconds. 50. Raise your hand when you're ready. There's a gap over here. You got to leave a little space. You got 5 seconds to beat the record. Line up. 2, 1, buzzer. Okay, you did it. Give yourselves a hand. Okay, now. Hold on. You ready? Okay, watch this. Okay, look over here for a second. You'll notice that a lot of times distributors, they walk around like this. Because they're thinking, I got to get somebody with this book. But what I want you to do is get the book out of your hand. You put it under your arm like this, or in your book bag. Not touching your hands. And lean back like this. Cool as a cucumber in an icebox. Okay? Because you're looking for ripe fruits. You're not chasing anybody. You're going to let the people come to you, attract them to you. Okay? So you want to lean back. And as soon as you qualify them, that's when you can pull the book out. So don't pull the book out and put it in your hand until you qualify them, right? And so the first thing is you're going to use radar, and then you're going to ask a qualifying question. You can trust the hand by handing it over and using your mantra, which is books on yoga and meditation, shows you how to get free from stress. Then you use the question, because you've heard of stress before, right? And they say, yes. And you say, really, because you don't look stressed. You look very peaceful. In fact, you look spiritual. What's your secret? And then when they tell you their secret, you take the book back out of their hands, and then you give them a nutshell presentation. And that means you show the back cover, which is Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Albert Einstein, the Beatles, and Tupac Shakur. And then you show them the Sanskrit, ask them if they can read it. Then you say it's been translated many times, and you show them the universities in the front. And then you show them changing bodies and show how we're just passing through. Then you show them the next page and say a self-realized person treats everyone with respect. Then you ask them if they've heard of karma before. And when they say they've heard of karma, you ask them, what does it mean to them? And they tell you what it means to them. Then you say, whoa, I really like the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, it would be a better world to live in. And then you ask them what they do professionally. What do you all do professionally? Engineer, dancer, school teacher. Really, this guy used to be a dancer. And when they laugh, then you hand the book back and you say, we don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. And go like this. Follow me. Watch me. We don't need the money. The only reason we ask, when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. And then they'll give you a donation. And then ask them if they believe in the power of prayer. You believe in power of prayer? Yes. You say, here, I'll teach you this mantra, this beautiful prayer. Repeat after me. Then you tell them the mantra, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then you give them prasadam. And then you take their name and number. And at the very end, what do? Thanks for taking your valuable time. It's been an honor to meet you. Leave them with a good impression, okay? Are you all ready? Okay, get the books out of your hand. Lean back. Cool as a cucumber in an icebox. On your mark. Get set. Distribute. Okay, go one way. Go ahead. And don't give people any trouble. Just go with them. Cooperate. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Somebody to help you?
Yes.
Okay. If you've done one side, just stop. Once you finish one side, then stop. Don't go to the second person. So we'll take a couple questions. If one person in your team has finished one repetition, raise your hand. If you can hear me, raise your hand. If you can hear me, raise your hand. If you can hear me, raise your hand. How many of you have finished one side? One person has gone all the way through one time. Anybody who hasn't finished one side? Okay, one, two, three, four. All right, take one more minute to finish up one side, and then we'll take a couple of questions before we go to the second side, okay? So one more minute. Finish up. I'll address that. Yeah. You mean
here or on the street? On the street.
Have you found people arguing? Thank you. 10 seconds. Okay. If you can hear me, raise your hand. 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 Okay, so now just you finished one side. Let's see if you have any questions before we go to the second side. Anybody run into any snags or forget something, or you have a question?
No.
Okay. Question. Yes. Krishna.
So we ran into two snags. The first one, have you read the Bhagavad Gita? The answer is yes. And the second one, do you see this language? He says, yes. Can you read Sanskrit? Yes, I can.
Okay, so the answer to that, if you run into an objection or something that didn't go according to the script, first of all, if somebody makes an objection at any time, you honor their objection. Don't resist it, but honor it. Like if somebody says, I already read the Bhagavad Gita, and go, perfect. Everyone say, perfect.
Perfect.
Whatever they say, it's perfect. Okay, perfect. Yeah, and the other thing you can say, they'll say, yeah, I already read the Bhagavad Gita, I already have the Bhagavad Gita. Say, perfect. I can tell by looking at you. So, you know, whenever there's an objection like that, and what was the second thing?
They know how to read
Sanskrit. Perfect. I can tell by looking at you. Yeah, the idea of showing them... The show and tell is, you already know all about this. Yeah, I could tell you were into this. That's the mood. It's like, yeah, you see Sanskrit? Yeah, I read Sanskrit. It's like, perfect. I could tell by looking at you. I knew you were a scholar. Like, that's the mood. What else? Any other things you ran into? Yes.
What about sarcasm?
What about it?
If someone you're distributing a book to, what if they greet you with sarcasm in their sarcasm?
Give me an example.
I don't have an example off the top of my head, but what if they do?
Perfect. You just, you know, if someone's sarcastic. But generally you'll find that these things that your mind says can go wrong, they're generally very rare. There's very few things that really go wrong. Like, and when they do, pick the right fruits. If somebody's being sarcastic or they're not interested, generally they won't even deal with you. And you don't have to.
How do you get out of a conversation with somebody who's just trying to egg you on and they're not a ripe fruit? You know, how do you politely excuse yourself?
Grab for your cell phone like it's on a silent buzzer and go, hold on 1 second. Yeah, I got to take this. I'll see you. So, oh. Okay. No.
You don't have cell phones.
I did. Just pretend like you have one. Like, yeah. Generally, if I meet people and they broadcast to me up front that they want to be argumentative or something, like sometimes, you know, I'll show them the book and they yeah, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they come on really strong like that. Then I'll say, oh, that's beautiful. If there were more people in the world like you, it'd be a better world to live in. It's people of faith like you who are keeping the world alive. Thank you very much. And then I just go. And sometimes, you know, they're open. But the way to cut it off is to have non-resistance and appreciate the argument that they're giving. Don't resist it. Anything else? Okay, yes.
So this was for the previous example when they said that I've read the Bhagavad Gita and I know how to read Sanskrit, and we say, okay, thank you. I mean, we say, okay, I appreciate it. Then how do we proceed with the conversation after that?
Are you talking about Indians?
Yes.
You're talking about Indians. So let me just say right now, if you're distributing to Indians, it's a completely different thing. What I'm teaching here is how to distribute to anybody but Indians. So Indians, I'll tell you how to distribute. It's a very simple thing. Thank you. Okay, so when you're dealing with Indians, you don't hand them a book to start with. At least I don't hand them a book. This is one of the ways. There's several ways, but I'm going to tell you the most effective way. So if I have a book and I meet an Indian and I'll say, you know, I'm from California, where are you from? And you say, Gujarat, Kamcho, and I'm appreciating, oh, I love India and stuff like that. And then I just tell them what we're doing without handing the book. I say, what we're doing, you already know Bhagavad Gita. Your mother knows Bhagavad Gita. Your grandmother memorized Bhagavad Gita. Then I say, you know Bhagavad Gita better than I do. What we're doing is spreading Bhagavad Gita, the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, all over the world. We're translating it into Japanese, into all Asian language, all Latin languages, and we're starting Bhagavad Gita schools all over the Bay Area. And what we're doing out here is a fundraiser. We just ask for money. And then they'll be happy to give you a donation. And then after they give you the donation, then they say, this is for you. And you give them a Bhagavad Gita and any other books that you'd like to, and they'll be very happy to accept it. So for Indians, you do it an opposite way, because Indians appreciate what you're doing, but if you insult them by handing them Bhagavad Gita, say, here, take the Bhagavad Gita, they'll think, like, you're trying to tell me I don't know Bhagavad Gita, I need Bhagavad Gita, they already have it. Does that make sense? Yes. Okay. Anything else? All right, let's go the other way. Yes. What about the donation aspect for what? For who? For the Americans. Okay, so at the end, when we ask for donation, we say, we don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. We don't need the money. The only reason we ask is, it's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. We don't sell it like in a bookstore. Only ask for a donation. We don't need the money. The reason we ask, it's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers
who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. We don't need the money. It's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. We don't need the money. It's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. Rock, you do it. Give him the mic. But try to make a few mistakes. Because we can only learn by our mistakes. So try to make a few mistakes.
We don't sell these like in a bookstore, but we simply ask for a donation. Because
we don't need the money.
We don't need the money, but when you offer a donation, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed the book down through multiple lineages.
Through many generations. Allows you to enter.
Allows you to enter
deeply within the knowledge.
Deeply within the knowledge.
Very good. Give him a hand. We don't sell it like in a bookstore. When they ask for a donation. We don't need the money. It's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. Very good. Okay, let's go part two. Second one, go to the person who hasn't... Whoever hasn't presented yet, present to the other person. And you did both ways? Want to try it one more time? Get one more rep in. More reps, the better. And don't make any problems for your partner. Just make it easy. On your mark, get set, go. One more rep.
Hi.
Hello, it's me, Abhi. Back it again with another video. Would you like to buy Bhagavad Gita? Yes, sir.
Would you like to buy Bhagavad Gita?
No. I'm atheist.
Gabe,
excuse me.
Would you like to buy a book?
Hey,
yes. Let's do some Gita.
So, hopefully you all finished your reps. And so today you'll get a chance to just try out the radar or whatever, but we're going to go down to the Haight-Ashbury. And so the only thing that you have to do today, actually, to pass the course is to touch the pavement. You don't have to sell any books. You don't have to even try. But get on the bus and get down to the Haight-Ashbury. It's a place where Prabhupada walked around. There are several temples in that area. And Navina Nirada Prabhu, Madhava Govinda, who are the most expert book distributors, will take you down there. And when you get there, you get out of the bus and you touch the pavement like this. And once you do that, you're done. You don't have to do anything else. Anything else after that is extra. And if you feel like trying out these things like the radar or presenting a Bhagavad Gita, there'll be Bhagavad Gitas down there. You can try it out. But nobody expects you to produce any results. Just to be around there and practice and see how it goes. Does that sound okay?
Yes.
Okay. Good job, everybody. You can put any extra Gitas you have over here. And we're going to do a Guru Puja very quickly. And then we're going to have prasadam for the whole world. Everybody in the whole world can come here. And we'll feed them. Go Premanande. Nitai Gaura Haribo 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo. Natariyar Marman Natariyar Marman Natariyar Marman Natariyar Marman. Hey! Natariyar Marman Natariyar Marman Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman.